would stand in honor to God's word. We're going to read from Romans. Sister Gwen, do you have an Amplified Classic? Okay, I'm going to be reading it, and if it matches what you've got, throw it up. If it doesn't, I don't want to confuse them. But there's the Amplified, and then there's the Amplified Classic from Romans 13. Okay, so let's see if we're hitting close. There's kind of like a very similar renditions, but sometimes there's a word or two that's thrown in that helps us understand a little better. The Greek language from which the New Testament was translated from was a rich, rich language, and the Hebrew of the Old Testament was the same. They were very, very unique languages, and the Holy Ghost chose those languages to convey revelation. Romans 13, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 6, let every person, and normally I would read the King James. I always like doing that, because if it was good enough for Paul and Silas, it was good. It's good enough for me, right? Of course, it came about 1,600 years later, but anyhow. So I'm doing something different. I'm just going straight to this translation. Let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities. Okay, so it's close. For there is no authority except from God, by his permission, his sanction. And those that exist do so by God's appointment, Proverbs 8:15. Therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the penalty due them. Just to give you this before we read a little further, I believe this is a reference to people like troopers and policemen and judges and magistrates. But there's also a spiritual parallel to this. There's also a spiritual parallel to spiritual leadership, spiritual authority. For civil authorities are not a terror to people of good conduct, but to those of bad behavior. Would you have no dread of him who is in authority? Then do what's right, and you will receive his approval and commendation. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, you should dread him. Maybe that's why some people aren't close to pastors. Okay, and be afraid, for he does not bear and wear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant to execute his wrath, punishment, vengeance on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath and escape punishment, but also as a matter of principle and for the sake of conscience. For the same reason, and you're going to love this, you pay taxes. For the civil authorities are official servants under God, devoting themselves to attending to this very service. Wow, when's the last time have you had that read to you? My. Good to see everybody. Good to have our kids home. Missed y'all greatly. Boy, we've been having a time, though. Have we not been having a time at the house of God? Okay, so that's just sort of the backdrop. I am going to tell a story on myself. I'm going to ask you to be really merciful to me because I am a growing boy. And I hope that you can say of yourself that you're a growing child of God as well. I'm gonna let myself be the fall guy. I don't like doing that because we get thrown under the bus often anyway. So if you ever see tire tracks on my forehead, it's because somebody just lately tossed me under the gray hat. But all that being said, God told the prophet, I'm going to make your head harder than theirs. So that there is something to that. God is good. Okay. I've got you in a serious vein now. I'm nudging over to a humorous. I'm kind of soften you up a little bit. All right, you may be seated. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about pulled over but not arrested. Pulled over but not arrested. Okay. Now, I think I'm a pretty good driver, but I always want to improve. So, this happened to me not long ago. And I was on my prayer road, of all things. Which probably helped me in the long term. So I'm doing this 25-mile circle. And I'm coming through a little village. I'd been in a lot of meetings, and my brain was probably closer to scrambled eggs than much of anything else. But I was trying to get prayed up for the next service. And I'm coming through a little village that's so small that when you plug in your electric razor, the streetlight dims. It's small. That's tiny. And I'm doing, I thought I was doing pretty good. I mean, I think I was, especially in my heart. But I came up to a stop sign, and I did, I'm going to free you up. To be honest with yourself and honest with God. We just had somebody do that in front of us at our Weight Watcher meeting last night. You know, judgment day for me is every Tuesday night. And Shelley, who is our amazing teacher, just really opened her heart up and let us know that she has issues with her weight in her life, you know. And that this group of people help her as she helps us. We help her stay on the straight and narrow when it comes to discipline. And it was so disarming because she was so transparent. And I just gave her from the chairs in that sanctuary where the meeting is held, I just gave her a good word at the end of the meeting, because what they do there is so close to a church service, it's scary. Okay? So I'm driving through this village, and I come up to this stop sign. Sister Morgan, give me five. There we go. See, parallel. All truth is parallel. Let's do that again. All truth is parallel. My beautiful grandnieces, I'm so proud of. I come up to a stop sign, and I did what I had been doing. That's what normally what we do. We do what we usually have been doing, because we do things in an involuntary way. Even in your physical faculties, you have voluntary muscles and you have involuntary. Aren't you glad that when you fall asleep, you don't have to worry that you're going to keep breathing? Yes. Because your involuntary muscles, see. There are things that should be voluntary and there are things that should be involuntary. Mm-hmm. Like to me, sitting in a service and just backing up the preacher and just flowing with whoever's teaching. I just try to be a big old kid and back up everybody. God, I do what I would want them to do for me. But it's also, there's a principle, but I see that in the Word of God. Oh, clap your hands, a few of you people. Is that what it says? Oh, clap your hands, a few chosen. You called chosen and frozen. Clap your hands. It says, all ye people, clap your hands. So, you literally... ye people. So I did, and this confession they say is good for the soul. I did what I had been doing, but I was largely unconscious of. I was sliding through the stop sign. It means STOP, skid tires on pavement. That's what it means in California. Okay. But as I looked to the right, my mind was on the meetings. My mind was on the service. I believe they were going to use me that morning in prayer, and they'd asked me to be ready for that. And I was trying to get sort of like tuned up, and I looked to the right, and I saw the policeman sitting there. I should have just went, "Hi, you know, I'm cooked. Come on over. Let's fellowship," because I was caught in the middle of a slide. So what I did another very dumb thing. You know, why do dumb things one at a time? I just do a cluster of them. I stopped, since I didn't stop at the stop sign, I stopped in the middle of the intersection. And I saw that policeman about 100 feet away. It's like, I'm fried. I am so fried. Well, at least I'll make an effort. though it's a little bit late. And he turns his lights on. I'm so glad I had been praying. So I tore off down the road at 100 miles an hour. Not on your life. I probably only drove 60, 70, 80 feet and pulled over as quickly as I could. I knew I was had. I knew I was guilty. I knew it, but it was an involuntary thing, but it still was, I'm responsible. And so this outstanding, and I do mean that, outstanding officer gets out of his car, but he sat there for a while, and I sat there for a while, and I sat there, and I sat there, and I thought, should I go back there and say, hey, can I help you? I mean, No, years ago, they used to tell us, get out and go back there, but no, not today. No. Don't pass out cookies, Tootsie Rolls, you know, just sit and be calm if you can. So you age about 10 years, 5 years, you know, as you're waiting for the man to get out of his car. And up he comes, and he's just dressed impeccably. He's a young man, and his name is Alfredo, which made me think, You know where I'm going, okay. So instead of doing what I could have done, ¿Cómo estás esta mañana? Instead of doing that, because that would not have been fair, would have given me a Hispanic edge. So I put the window down, and he's so polite. He says, sir, not only did you not stop at this, here it comes. I'm just turn the microwave up to what, 3 minutes and bake until the bird is dead. I mean, so okay, yes, that's true. And then you stop in the middle of the intersection. I said, I'm just being honest with you. I apologize. I did that. I admit to all. I apologize. I've been in some services. My brain is scrambling. I was telling him the truth. There was no excuse. But he said, do you live around here? I said, no, I live up in Grove City. I wondered what kind of edge that could give me, you know. Like, maybe you don't know this town as well as you normally would have if you live here. But I just got to tell him the truth. Now I don't live a long ways away. I live up in Grove City. And so he asked for, what have they asked for? Who knows what? Well, I had my driver's license, but finding the registration was something else. I had three different envelopes. And I'm pulling down envelopes, and he's standing there very patiently, and I'm trying to find my registration, and it just so happened that I, you know, when I bought the new car, I had the old papers and then the new papers and then some other and so I'm pulling down, and he's standing there, and I said, like, he's so patient. And finally, I gave him the right papers, evidently. And so he takes them back, and he goes back to his car, and this is another time when you age, and he gets in his car, and he stays there for quite a while. And you're thinking, oh, I love fried chicken. Hallelujah, I am so fried. It's not even close here. It's done. But anyway, I'm trying to rest in God because I'd been in prayer, Brother Frank. I'm trying to rest in the Lord because the Bible commands us to rest in the Lord. So I didn't hyperventilate like I would have enjoyed doing. And finally, he comes back to the car. And he says something to me like, well, I'm going to let you go. Now, I want to tell you how musical those words sounded to me. Do you know what redemption is? Do you know what salvation is? Do you know how good it feels? Like that old song, like a bird out of prison that's taken his flight. Like a blind man who Jesus gave back his sight. That's what I felt like. But I said to him, I said, sir, and I meant this from my heart. I said, I am going to work on this weakness of mine. I promise you, I am going to get better at that. That's just not right. I apologize. I promise you, when he extended mercy, I felt like I should give him something back in return. And I made a promise to him, which I have kept, by the way. And I'm still working on that. Now, I have here in my notes, special note. I didn't have my seatbelt fastened. Now, listen. See, when the Lord convicts you of something, I see that God pulls you and me over from time to time. But we so often have the wrong responses. But he doesn't, see, the devil convicts you of other people's sins. But the Holy Ghost convicts you of yours. The Holy Ghost convicts me of mine. But he doesn't deal with everything all at once. One of my old pastors said it this way. When we come to God, he doesn't cut everything off all at once or we would bleed to death. Right? So I didn't have, and I didn't, you know, try to fasten it while he was walking up. Try to get it fastened, you know. I'm not that fast with it anyway. It takes, you know, it's crazy getting that seatbelt to work right. I'm done. I'm fried. Okay. I'm not going to cover it up. I'm not going to act like it wasn't, you know, I'm just had. I'm guilty. Anyway, something about the way that I responded, because I don't always fare that good. But I've been praying and I just felt I'm just taking the low road and I'm just going to be honest with him. So, listen to this. There's something about this whole experience that I felt the hand of God on me about. It's like there was going to come a service in the near future when he wanted me to talk to you about this. And so here I am. Normally, I wouldn't put myself in such a disadvantageous position to talk to you from one of my difficult experiences, because we like to, you know, everybody likes to tell the mountaintop experiences, but when you and I, when we minister to people, we don't very often draw from the mountaintop experiences. We draw from the valley.
That's right.
Right? Is that right? In the valley, he restoreth my soul. In the valley, he restoreth my soul. So, I have a question for you, and that is, have you ever been pulled over? Thank you, Linda. Who else has been pulled over the last... Oh, man, I am among friends. I need to give an altar call right now. Actually, this is going to be the funniest part. First of all, thanks for being so honest, but that wasn't what my question was going to be. But thank you.
Yes, God has pulled me over.
What I was going to say was, you were so honest about it. I was going to say, have you ever been pulled over by the Spirit of God?
Yes.
See, my title is Pulled Over But Not Arrested. If I had given him the third degree, if I had compared my age to his, and tried to manipulate him on, you know, like, what are you doing to this old guy? You man of strength and valor, and I'm this crinkled up little press hole going through your town. And, you know, if I tried to play him like my cat plays me most every day. Okay, if I tried to play, he would have picked up on it instantly. I just knew I was had. I knew as guilty, got no pleading to do except, I'm in some meetings. My mind is scrambled up. They've lowered some more responsibilities on us in the district. We have a big team that's been put together, and they let me know I'm on the team, and I've got stuff to do and things to be about and so on. It's scary, but it's also frighteningly exciting. A lot of fright in there. Okay, so I didn't pitch a hissy fit. I remember when the prophet pulled King David over. And he, You know, he tells a parable, a story, and David makes a quick judgment. And he thinks he's judging somebody else, but what happens is he's judging himself. And then Nathan says in 2 Samuel 12, verse 7, and he said to him, "Thou art the man." I want God to be active in my life. I really do. That's not a light thing to ask for. I want him to be proactive. I'm sitting in a ministerial devotion. I'm the leader of the same. And the man of God gets up, and it was only probably 1 or 2 minutes into his devotionals, and I knew the Holy Ghost had me in his crosshairs. And I thought, oh, it almost took my breath away. You know, if we're not careful, you know, somebody said that a congregation is made up of people who use either a pitchfork or a rake. The pitchfork people sink that pitchfork into a sermon and go, oh, I sure hope Fred hears this. I sure hope Jim hears this. I sure hope Sarah hears this. But folks that want to grow in God have their rake, and they go, I want some of that, and I'll take some of that, and I want some of that. And we're pulling things into our hearts, and we receive. I'm going to receive. Lift your hands. I want to receive everything that he's trying to say to us. I want to say, it's for me. It's for me. It's for my heart. I want that. I want the activity of the Spirit of God in my life. I want to be able to be sensitive to him and honest with him. You heard me explain this story. So the next day after this amazing devotion, of all the audacity for God to aim it at me, well, it probably spoke to everybody else too, but I know it really spoke to me. That was the day when I'm driving down the road, and I said, there was this family Christian broadcast on. I said, okay, if that was for me, I want, and I said, Lord, of the next 2 minutes on that station, which I almost never, you know, it was a new station that I'd finally anchored down in my, you know, select list. And in the next 2 minutes, I want a reference to be made about God and something about this lesson that I want in the next 2 minutes. Boom, it comes over that station. It's like, whoa. It's like, oh, my lands had once again. You know, see, if we're not careful, we go to church, we leave church, we come to church, we go home. And after a while, things are flying over our heads, they're flying over our hearts, and we think it was for somebody. But we ought to come and say, Holy Spirit, if there's anything that I'm doing, if there's anything that I'm saying, if there's anything I'm thinking, if there's an attitude that I have that needs your hand on it, your disciplines on it, Lord, pull me over. Would you lift your hand? Let's ask him to do that. Lord, pull me over. In Jesus' name, don't let me be lost. Don't let me, Lord, slip away from you. Don't let me even become just a carnal churchgoer. Pull me over. In Jesus' name. And I'm so glad that he knows how to directly speak to us. But sometimes he chooses one of his servants. It could be a pastor. Are we really biblical here? If you understand what I'm referring to, read the epistles of Timothy. He talks about reprove and rebuke with all authority. He said that to a young, not an old pastor. He said it to a young pastor, reprove and rebuke with all authority. We don't do a lot of that, but sometimes there's an anointing in God that comes down and God pulls us over. Sometimes he can use a Sunday school teacher. He might use a church staff leader. He might even use a friend. I know of a man of God that, if I said his name, many of you would recognize his name, greatly used of God, used in the gifts and used in the healing ministry. And he was pastoring a church many years ago. That was not his strongest gift mix. But somebody spoke to him, a friend, and just mentioned to him that as far as they were concerned, he'd slipped a little bit. And that really got under his skin, but in a good way.
Yeah.
It got under his hide. He wasn't used to people. He was used to people giving him a good word about his ministry and people getting healed and getting the Holy Ghost and so on, getting baptized. So when they said that to him, that stirred him up, and he got a hold of himself, and he had a prayer meeting, and he prayed himself through. Did you know you can pray yourself through? You can pray yourself through. Oh, come on, clap your hands. You can pray yourself through. If there's one thing that I've learned about God, is he's very patient. Oh, what would we do? Tiffany, good to see you too. Praise God. So good to have Brother Aaron. Saw Brother Aaron come in. All of God's displaced apostles. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. Woo! But it's good to have God's kids home. Praise God. Even though the Northwest is beautiful, you got to have somewhere to come back from. Hallelujah. Those mountains, I'm telling you, man. Paul, you found out. Vicky, you can't even describe them. You have to almost speak in tongues to describe what you're seeing out there in the Northwest. God is very patient, but here's something else that he is. He's not to be trifled with. They said that about Douglas MacArthur. You might not agree with him, but you didn't play with him. He was too brilliant. He was too smart. He had too much dignity and too much authority to play with. God is very patient, but he's not to be trifled with. Listen to Deuteronomy 4, verse 23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant. Do you know we're living in covenant? Somebody say covenant. That's what testament means. Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant. So he said, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God, verse 24, is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. He doesn't want you to love the internet more than you love him. He doesn't want us to love our cell phones more than we love him. He wants no competition. He is a jealous God, but the jealousy of it all isn't a carnal, worldly jealousy. It's a sanctified jealousy. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He owns us, and he wants us to live in a place and in a position where the anointing and the power of God can move on us to meet needs at any particular moment in time as we walk through life. Lift your hand. Let's claim that. Anointing. I want to minister. I want to be used of you. I want to bring a word to somebody, Lord. I want to bring encouragement. I want to bring ministry. But oh, Father, help me, Jesus, not to be so hard-hearted or resistant that you can't pull me over once in a while. You can't just pull us over and say, there's a little something that I want you to work on. One of our people years ago at an airport, I don't know what was happening to them, but they were slipping. Something was happening in their walk with God, and they were losing out on what they had owned in God. And they're at this airport, and a stranger, they didn't know who it was, they'd never seen this so-called man before, but he walks up to them and sticks his finger in their face like this, something like this, and says, I've warned you once, I've warned you twice, I've warned you three times, and I am not going to warn you again. And when he said that last part, poof, he disappeared. Right out of their sight, just out of the airport. They never saw him again. God has ways of getting our attention. I often think of Exodus 19, verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed, and this is the part that really gets to me, waxed louder and louder. See, when I don't listen, when I'm not really paying attention, when I don't want to get it, when I refuse to get it, instead of just pulling me over, he will arrest me. See, you smart off at an officer, and there's a whole lot worse things than just getting pulled over. If we resist the activity of the Holy Ghost, this is one thing I like about our church. We can have midweek service and have revival fall on us. Oh, praise God. We got to pray and soak in prayer. It's hard to wrap that thing up. It's so powerful. How many of you enjoyed that on Sunday? He said, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake. I want you to notice something. It says Moses spake and God answered him by a voice. Here's what I'd like you to notice that I don't remember. Is when the trumpet sounded louder and louder, the first person that God used to speak wasn't himself, it was a man. So sometimes when the trumpet is sounding louder and louder, God hires one of his servants to speak to us. I've had pastors speak in my life. Have mercy on Mr. Percy, dear Lord. I am so thankful for men of God and women of God, by the way, who spoke into my life. I will never forget when I was in that prankster mood. You know, in here there's a servant, in here there's a prankster. See, Noah is always helping us. He's a servant at heart, but in here I got to keep him under wraps. There's a prankster in here. There's a prankster in. I'm just telling you. Oh, praise God. I know. So anyway, I was a young minister. I'm just teasing. I was just young, right? And there was this couple in our church, and he was very bashful, and he didn't know how to, you know, present himself. And there was a young lady he started liking, and I said to somebody, I'm going to get in the back of the car. I'm going to put some clothes over the top of me. Like laundry. And I said to the young man, I'm going to hide behind the seats of the car. And then as you go along, and he was real, you know, he's like real soft-spoken, you know, just a gem of a guy. Just a sweet-spirited young man. But I thought, I'm going to add a little flavor. This is a confession good for the soul. So I get down there, and in those days I was very skinny. I was skinny, Minnie. And I was so skinny that I had to dance around in the shower so the water would hit me. You know, that's skinny. And I've got all these clothes on top of me, and he stops, and he picks her up. And they're going along, and you could barely hear what they're saying because he's so soft-spoken, and she's real sweet, and she's a good gal, and he's a good guy. They just need a little fire, you know, they need a little help. And so after a while, I took my right hand, and I just put it over the top of the seat, and I went like this toward her, and she didn't see it. I'm straining to do this number, and she's just looking straight ahead, and I'm about breaking my arm trying to do this. Finally, she sees my claw. And whoa! And I start laughing. I do not recommend you do this. I got so tickled. I don't do this. Well, I had a pastor's wife who helped me understand. You don't do that to people. Sister Tiny Crosley, I don't know why they called her Tiny. There was nothing tiny about her. She was an amazing woman of God, was a preacher, a singer, a piano. Oh, she could beat that piano to death. Have you ever seen Tiny Crosley play the piano? She lost 5 pounds just playing for worship service. And she gave me a dressing down. You know what? That was the first and the last time I did something like that. Talk about get pulled over. The prankster in my heart began to shrivel and die. I thought, this is too rigorous to go through, to have a little fun. But I'm telling you what, God knows what he's doing. Now listen, I want to go over a few of the responses because God wants to help each one of us. Response number one, I didn't take off so he could chase me. I didn't hit the pedal to the metal and go bombing through that little village. Do you remember in Luke 15, you don't, in the story of the prodigal son, daddy didn't go chasing his boy into that far country. I heard Frank Tamil. Anybody remember Frank Tamil? Pastor of a little church of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And he used to be a boxer, and he'd sort of move his shoulders like this, and he'd say, "I refuse to play cops and robbers." What did he mean by that? I refuse to chase you, you know, cops and robbers. I refuse to chase people. So daddy didn't chase him. There's something about it when we just say, like I said to Alfredo, and by the way, before we left, I talked to him in Spanish. I think I'm going to let an opportunity like that get by. And I brought a smile to his face because I think I knew more Spanish than he did. So, response number two. I just owned up to it. And then he said, "You stopped in the middle of the intersection." Well, that's when I saw him. It's like, oh. But now I want to ask you, how many of us have trouble with stop signs too? Thank you. You know, like, I would just sort of, and Rhonda, thank you so much for being that awesome helpmeet to Brother Dinkins. She is. But my awesome helpmeet, I confirmed with her, yes, you do have a problem with this. I do. I said something like, "I do." She said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen this." So I thought, okay, amen, Charlie. Okay, so the officer said there's a problem. She confirmed it. In the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses shall every word be established. I thought, well, praise the Lord. Okay, she sees it. He saw it. I'm owning up to it, right? And admitting to him, right? Now watch this. God wants to say to us, quit skidding through the stop signs. Stop being bitter. Stop being angry. Stop playing to the flesh. Stop being unforgiving. Stop being resentful. You know, resentment. You send it out, ill will, and it gets resent back. But the deal is, you pay the postage both ways. Resentment. You send out the craziness, and it gets sent back to you. Postage due. Just let it go. Brother Tim will remember this when we had a fiery lady evangelist, just a powerhouse preaching over at the, I think it was Methodist old church. And she told this story about praying and how God spoke to her about there's still a layer of unforgiveness, you know, left in your heart concerning something that happened in her past, and the Holy Ghost quickened that to her. Well, we had people sitting there, and Brother Tim inspired us all, because Tim hits the, if I mind me sharing this, he hit the altar, because while she was sharing that story, the Holy Ghost pulled him over. You see, if I give him flack, the next thing is an arrest and a change of the role of authority. But if I say, "Oh, I'm working with you," I admit, "Oh my," and the Holy Ghost showed Tim. But well, as Tim responded to that, if I remember right, you came right down to the altar. Well, what happened is he helped kick off a forgiveness revival in our church that went on for weeks. We had people healed. We had finances blessed. We had kids coming to the altar that were the children of folks that were getting themselves prayed back through. He let the Holy Ghost pull him over, and God began to pull every one of us over. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of your Spirit and the way that you have when you deal with us, Lord. We accept that. Would you say that? We accept, Lord, the way that you work with us and deal with us. Praise God. In Jesus' name, stop being selfish. Stop being silent when he's trying to get you to witness to somebody. We slide through the stop signs and never really stop. Response number three, and this is different. I don't know if I've ever done this before. But I said to the officer, Alfredo, I said, I'm going to work. Not only, I have no excuses. But I promise you, I am going to work on that tendency that I have. So I owned it. And as far as I know, every day since then, I catch myself wanting to slide through a stop sign. But I made a promise to what Paul said by the Holy Ghost to Romans, a servant of God. I made a promise to a servant of God. I'm going to get better in that area. I promise you. And every day, I've tried to keep that promise, and I catch myself. You remember Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So I'm working at that. Not perfect. I'm not in the range or zone of perfection. But this is what I believe. I believe God hired an officer, Brother Gary. I believe God loves me so much, he hired and trained an officer to save my life. And he had the professionalism, the courtesy, and the skill of a very special man to stop me and in the kindest way possible, impress upon me my need to improve my skills. Yeah. Okay, now, I'm almost done. Response number four, and this is what I've probably never, ever done before in my life. You ready for this? Every one of these has a spiritual parallel. In other words, how do you respond to authority figures? The way that we respond to authority figures will be a prophecy of our future. We will never, ever get away from people of some kind of authority who have authority in our lives. So the better that we can work with them and flow with them, the more blessing of God's going to be upon us. Almost every single day, I'm praying for Alfredo. That's my response number four. In other words, I'm calling his name out. This man gave me mercy. God, I want you to bless him. I want you to bless his wife. You say, does he have one? I'm not sure, but I know when I pray for her, it feels good in my spirit, so he probably does. Pray for his children. Does he have any? I'm not sure. But when I pray for his family, I feel peace in the Spirit of God. I pray for his family. I pray for his protections. I pray that God's hand will be upon him. Hallelujah. When's the last time somebody yanked your chain and you manifested a humility? You manifested an honesty. You manifested a transparency, and you made them a target of your prayers coming out of that experience, because you realized that God had hired them as a servant of change. You don't believe that? Did you? Do you remember what Romans 13 says? It's very clear, and read it in all the different translations. So every day I'm praying for him, seriously. And I have scripture for that. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. When I drive, this is really probably not, this is not deeply, you know, whatever. It might even sound odd, but when I'm driving down the road and I see somebody pulled over, I start praying for them. I'll pray for the officer. I'll pray for the person. I'll pray that God's mercy will be on the whole situation. Because if it was me, I'd want that. Praise God. How many of you want to be under the mercies of God? So I want to tell you about my last response. Number five. I was driving through the same city. And I saw a police car. Yikes. Just days later. Yikes. I thought, I'm going over there. It was an Alfredo. So I thought, I wonder if I even remember his name correctly. I've been calling out the name Alfredo. So I pulled up to this police car. And if you know this, policemen don't like to be interrupted with what they're doing. I've got a brother-in-law that's a policeman. I had an uncle that's a policeman. They do not like to be interrupted when they're in the process of, you know, sort of like taking care of business. And I drove right up to his car and put my window down. And he looked at me. I said, do you have an officer named Alfredo that works in your police department? Yeah, yeah. Yes, we have an Alfredo. I said, would you give him a message for me? And he looked at me like, some of these animals I talk to when I'm out on my prayer roads, and I talk to them, put the window down, they look at me like, what? Say what? I said, tell Alfredo, and I meant this with all sincerity. I said, tell him I'm still working on that skill set, that, you know, I'm still working on that problem I've got. I'm still, let him know that I'm still working on it because I promised him I would. In Jesus' name, you say, Pastor, you are such a fanatic. Yes, I am. And I would like for you and me to see that if God can trust us with conviction as we soften the lights, if God could trust you, if an authority figure, if a pastor, a shepherd, a teacher, God forbid even a family member, just sort of pull us over and speak to us out of their hearts to help us grow, that we would be so tender to God's government. Jesus, right now, we lift up your name over us. Lord, I believe that you're watching over us with divine protections. And I believe also, Lord, that you love us too much not to talk to us about your truth and about the things that you see in our lives that you want to alter. Oh God, I invite you. Lord, we invite you to help us, praise God, as we fill this sanctuary up with worship music. We take a few moments in closing this evening, dear God, to say to you, we are thankful for every time, hallelujah, you have had the boldness in our lives. You had the sanctified heart and courage to deal with us and not let us slip into the swamp, slip into carnality, slip into unbelief, unholiness. Oh God, thank you. Thank you. Holy Ghost, we invite you. Should we do that together? Would you do that? Lord Jesus, we invite you. We invite you. You're the builder of your church. You're the builder of your church. We're your people, the sheep of your pasture. Oh God, forgive us if we've missed it from time to time. Forgive us if we've skidded through some stop signs. Forgive us, Lord. Oh Father, shine on us, I pray. Shine on us. Oh great God, we couldn't make it without you. We couldn't do this. We couldn't walk this way. We couldn't live a holy life without you. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1, Lord, having these promises, hallelujah. Thank you. Every head bowed, if you would, every heart open for just a few moments. Is there anybody that could lift your hand and just say, take this back to Alfredo. Take this back, Lord, to your heart. Take this back to heaven's courtroom. Take this back. Tell Jesus. Would you, angel of God, would you tell the Lord, I'm working on this. I am not complete without him. I am not whole without him. Would you take this message back to the Father of lights and tell him, I receive his word. I receive his conviction. I receive his hand, his touch, his help. I receive it. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. In the name of Jesus.